clearly announced three-year business plans with clear operating commitments. First was the three-year Nissan Revival plan, which was fully delivered in 2 years' time. Next was Nissan 180, also fully delivered. Today, we are in the midst of Nissan Value Up, the plan through fiscal year 2007. Renault too has its own strategy and commitments, as expressed in Renault Commitment 2009, the growth plan whose ambition is to make and sustain Renault as the most profitable European mass market car company. In fact, what other companies in the world will give their main business commitments up to 4 years in advance? We do this to give our employees a clear direction to follow and our shareholders a yardstick to measure our progress. The formula and principles are not secret. They are entirely transparent. But as with anything else, execution is the real challenge. The bottom line, if we say it, we have to do it. Nissan and Renault are both very disciplined organizations, and the culture of commitment has been and continues to be key to Alliance achievement. Finally, the third reason for success is that we get results. You can have remarkable principles, follow them, but if you don't produce results, they don't work. Plans without results have no value. In the Alliance, synergies are not developed for the sake of developing synergies, but only for the sake of the performance of each one of the two companies. All decisions are profit-driven. Every single synergy is sought and developed to enhance the performance and total profitability of each partner systematically. Consider the Renault-Nissan purchasing organization. Today, 72% of procurement is pooled together, accounting for $60 billion in purchases, and the annual savings are significant. We can show you synergies realized from sharing key technologies, common powertrains, common platform. By 2010, the target is to have 10 common platforms, 8 common powertrains shared between Nissan and Renault vehicles worldwide. This does not at all mean that only the batches will be different. Engines and transmission can be tuned differently to achieve an authentically Nissan or Renault feel and driving performance. Exteriors and interiors can likewise be tailored to achieve distinction. But by working together on future technologies and through joint procurement or things you can neither see or feel, we can achieve important synergies. In addition to vehicle projects, we are exchanging best practices in manufacturing efficiency, logistical effectiveness, and we are taking the same pragmatic approach to research and development. For instance, Renault is leading the development of diesel engines that can be adopted by either company, and Nissan is taking the lead in the development of gasoline-fueled engines. For example, when Nissan wanted a diesel engine in Europe, it approached Renault, which had available capacity. Nissan performed some additional minor engineering and at a minimum investment. In less than a year, Nissan had diesel engines in Europe. We don't waste resources or engineering capabilities by duplicating efforts. Other evidence of results. In March 1999, Renault's market capitalization was, in dollars, $10.7 billion. Today, it has tripled to $32.6 billion. Nissan's market capitalization went from $9.7 billion to $52.3 billion, multiplied more than fivefold. Put in the context of performance in the global automotive industry, the total market capitalization of the world major automakers increased by 27% between 1999 and today. That number includes, obviously, very different situation. A doubling in the market value of Japanese automaker, a flat performance among European automakers, and a decline in among US automakers. Collectively, the market capitalization of the Renault-Nissan Alliance has quadrupled, giving us the second highest market capitalization in the global auto industry. And as was mentioned by Sandra, we are also number two in profitability. Right now, halfway through Nissan Value Up, Nissan is earning 7.7% operating profit margin at the lowest point in our product cycle. And hopefully that's about to change. Up. Our US product offensive began this summer with the Versa, followed by the Sentra that went on sale mid-October, the new Infiniti G35 that had only a few days of sales during the month of October, and this month we launched the all-new Altima sedan, our best-selling model. In fact, the Altima, Versa, Infiniti G35 make up three of the 11 cars in consideration for 2007 North American Car of the Year, which in itself is a statement about the appeal of our current lineup. So far, our new models are off to a solid start, but we are facing the same headwinds that the rest of the global automakers are facing. And the realities of the business world keep us humble. At the end of the day, we have to recognize that for many observers, not for all of them, it doesn't matter how much and how much you delivered in the past. We're only worth our last 3 months' results anyway. Even so, if you look at results over the 7 year span of the lines, you see that Nissan has launched attractive, competitive products, grown in size, expanded revenues, added employees. The same is happening to Renault. You can look at the facts and judge the results for yourself, but I believe that the Renault-Nissan alliance is a model that works. As to the future of the alliance, it remains an open proposition. For Renault and Nissan, we are satisfied to continue together as two separate companies as long as this alliance continues to provide measurable value for both companies and all our stakeholders. A security firm recently asked, why doesn't Nissan just buy Renault, or why doesn't Renault just take the majority of Nissan? It's true that some sort of fusion or merger of two companies might give investors a quick windfall, but the lasting result will be a huge disruption over many years to come. So there will be no merger, and there will be no fusion. Nissan will continue to be Nissan, Renault will continue to be Renault. But what about adding a third partner to the alliance, which is the following question? My response is very simple, why not? The Renault-Nissan alliance is a credible reference. Why not use it if there is any opportunity in the industry? In truth, there is no need for a third partner. The alliance is going very well and can continue to do very well. But we expect that we could gain from a third party the same benefit that we have already found in our current partnership. Benefits such as greater international scope, better supplier pricing, faster development times, broader product lines, increased revenue and profit, and a broader, diverse talent pool. To enlarge the alliance to a third partner, we would have to make sure that it's compatible with the present commitments of the two existing companies, that is, Nissan Value Up and Renault Commitment 2009, and that the opportunity would be far outweighed by the risks. It would have to be an opportunity, not an obligation. We would never, as I said many times, do anything hostile, but only something based on opportunity and cooperation. Today, the alliance is made up of an Asian partner and a European partner. Expanding the alliance to include an American partner makes sense in terms of geographical complementarities, but geography is not a sufficient basis for expanding the alliance. If an opportunity were to develop for a healthy win-win partnership with potential synergy that could be quantified, then we could consider next steps. But we are in no hurry. We can wait for next opportunity to emerge, and it may take some time. I remain committed to the principle of alliances as an effective model for business or other applications. And I'm not here expressing some esoteric belief. The Renault-Nissan alliance has proof in hard numbers, with large losses converted in billions of dollars of profits and tens of billions of dollars of market capitalization since 1999. We know how much value an alliance can create if and when appropriately managed. I would also propose that the Renault-Nissan alliance is a structured, natural actor in the evolution of globalization. In this partnership, you see different groups of people working together in a constructive way, which is totally compatible with the diversity that exists today and even more tomorrow in a global enterprise. I'm always bemused by those who feel threatened by the emergence of new countries on the global level. But the premise of a global marketplace is that all who can contribute are accepted. Economic development and diversity are constructive and normal consequences of globalization. The very definition of diversity means that all players are welcome. Those who can contribute are welcome to compete. The vision of the global economy of the 21st century could be aided by the values and the strategies that have been proven successful in a small cases relatively, which is the Renault-Nissan alliance. Diversity is an opportunity. Respect for different identities is at the basis of a successful globalization. For the moment, the Renault-Nissan alliance is a unique business model, but I hope this position will someday become more commonplace. Alliance principles are strategic foundations for future direction, future possibilities, principles between groups that can form the basis of meaningful, lasting, and peaceful success. Thank you for your attention.